Plugged into Long Island on Long Island's number one hit music station, 106.1 BLI and 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock.
Hey, it's Cooper Lawrence. I am here with Jonathan Chenkin, Vice President for Development, Family Service League, and Karen Borstein, President and CEO of Family Service League. Before I start to ask you guys a million questions, which I have a million questions, can you explain, Karen, tell me about Family Service League. What is it?
Sure. Thank you for having us. We are a human service organization, not-for-profit agency, and as our name implies, we help families. And we've been doing it for 90 years. We help everyone throughout your life cycle, from young children right through seniors, every life phase, every stage, from helping kids in preschool, family support programs, people suffering with mental illness, substance use, homelessness. We provide job training, technology, and we are the largest ombuds program in New York State outside of New York City, where we help senior citizens residing in long-term care facilities to protect the rights of them in these facilities. So we do a lot.
And you guys have been a staple here in Long Island, and Huntington is your main office.
Huntington's administrative office, and we do have programs there, but that's where we started. Back in 1926 and later incorporated in 1930. But since that time, Cooper, we have spread out. We are throughout Long Island. Most of our work is here in Suffolk County, and we go out as far as East Hampton. We have 21 different locations throughout the island.
Jonathan, do you have to run around to all of them?
Well, I do get around to different locations when I have to. You know, certainly there's events, ribbon cuttings, things. We're always opening new centers.
Hmm.
Our newest family center will be open soon in the Patchogue Medford area.
Oh, nice.
We like to say that we're the neighbor that you can turn to. Or at least I like to say that. The family centers that we have particularly are places where you can go for like a one-stop shopping. If you have a family with a multitude of issues, it could be anything from staying in your home to paying your heating bills to a child needing counseling to an elder family member who needs help in a nursing facility or an assisted living facility. We're the neighbor you can turn to for all those things. And these family centers are places where you can go and stop in one place and have all these needs addressed and farmed out to the right programs that we offer and that we're connected to in other agencies, actually, to help you get those things accomplished.
So take me through like an example, Karen, of like a family. Like what's a family going through that they realize that they might need you guys? What'll happen?
So somebody typically could call at one of our offices and say, my lights are going to be turned off. I don't have any money to pay the electric. And please help me because I have three kids here at home. I have a child who is handicapped. I need electricity. You know, we're struggling to make ends meet. So they may contact us. We'll get them into our office, and they'll meet with one of our care managers, somebody who can connect them to different services. And those services will be, maybe we can work out a plan with PSCG for payments of how that family can pay off the bill. So then ask them not to turn their lights off, explain the hardship case that they have, and then help the family get the other resources. So the mom may be working, but not to the level she wants. We can say, what other help can we get? What other resources are out there for you? Do job training technology. Maybe she can say, you know, she may say, as a result of the problems we're having, my husband and I are having difficulties, marital issues, we can get them into counseling. So by coming in, we always say there's no wrong door with us. You come in through that door, and most people come, have multiple issues, and that we can address all, typically in one setting, or if not, we have other settings we can provide. But as Jonathan said, a family center really is at one shop, a one-stop shopping model, that when someone comes to us with one problem, like if this mom came because her lights are being turned off, what else is going on in your life? What's happening?
Right.
And we will make a full assessment and connect the dots so we don't leave that family hanging, that we can cover and touch all bases. And that's what we can do in a family center where we have multiple programs co-located in one center. You know, it's hard enough, Cooper, for people to get around who don't have the resources. And whether it's to say, you have to depend on the bus system, that's difficult.
Yeah.
For a 20-minute ride, it could take 2 hours on a bus. So when they come to us, we want to reduce those obstacles for them to say, you know what, you're here. Let's see what else we can help you with in this center and do that before they leave our office. And then we obviously do the follow-up. They come in. We can go out to meet with them in their home all of that.
So if a family comes, they may be coming for one reason, and while they're there, you realize they may have other needs. So what's the process? What happens when you realize that maybe the mom has mental health issues? What if they're not aware of it? What if it's painfully obvious to the person doing the assessment? How do you say, listen, you need more help than you realize?
Well, we work with a team of professionals who are very used to dealing with people with a multitude of problems, and they are assigned a caseworker. And that caseworker, through conversations and various assessment tools, will figure out exactly what they need. And it's amazing how when you establish a level of trust with an experienced professional, what people will share with you and the troubles that they will bring forward and allow you to help them get help for. So we really, that's not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is just getting them in the door and getting the word out that we are there, that we are the neighbor they can turn to. That's our hardest thing, our hardest, you know, effort to make, because, you know, we're an agency that 87 cents goes of the dollar goes directly to services. We are accredited, which is, we're the only accredited agency in Suffolk County by the Council on Accreditation.
Oh, that's important.
And it's very important. And the thing is that when you want to place 87 cents of every dollar directly into services, that doesn't leave a lot for marketing.
Right, right. So, which is why you're here with us.
And why we love that.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Yeah, we're here for you, believe me. Now, Karen, it's interesting because as Jonathan was just saying, about when families come in, they might have an assessment done.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't most of these people a population that are constantly being assessed and asked questions? So they're going to come in and have another, let's say, assessment for depression or something. Isn't it like, another questionnaire?
First of all, it's not a questionnaire in most times. I mean, there may be an aspect of it that is. But, you know, when someone comes into us, as Jonathan said, it's establishing that relationship right at the get-go. So to the social worker, it may seem very obvious that this person coming before us has some mental illness or suffering from chemical dependency. No, they're not going to say it that way. But I think through talking with them, they're going to say, you know what? There are people here who can help you. You sound like you're going through a tough time. Let me get blah, 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 and get them in that way. And
so
it's
the
very gentle.
So it's the caseworker, worker is a person that the family feels they can open up to, and then they
exactly
start to really share.
Exactly. And then ultimately get them connected to the other services. And it's from the get-go. Once you feel like heard and someone's listened to you, all of a sudden say, all right, you know, I'll make that appointment to do that. And so right away, it may not be that questionnaire. It's really kind of, you know, ask them questions about what's going on. They're coming to us, this particular case I gave you, they're coming into us to saying, my lights are being turned off. So that person in front of them, that social worker, is going to say, tell me what happened. Let's hear your story. And maybe they will say, you know, again, but it really is, you know what, they, you know, it's an important mechanism for us to hear from them. What do they need from us? And then to move forward. And then once they get into the more formalized, whether it's a mental health clinic or the chemical dependency or some other program, they may have other questions. But yeah, you know what, it may be, but we hope we ask in such a way that they don't feel like, oh my God, again.
Right.
That understand that we're asking the questions, we're asking you to tell us a bit about yourself to really a means to an end to help get you the help so your lights can get turned back on and we can make a plan for you.
How long do families stay with you guys? I mean, is there a limited number of times
it
that they
varies
can come in?
From program to program? No. You know, different programs have different criteria, but generally, you know, as long as someone needs the help, they can stay with us.
And once you establish a relationship with us, the fact of the matter is that as the family grows, different problems may arise.
Right.
The problem of a child not really getting along or doing well in school and needing some counseling may be the first problem a family is introduced to us with, but may not be the last problem a family comes to us with. So,
right.
You know, once they know we're there, we become a trusted resource in the community for them, and they can come back to us with different problems.
So when a family walks in for Family Service League, they come for one thing, and they realize, huh, there's all these other services here, and I could potentially use.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, we run preschool programs throughout Suffolk County in different locations, and one of our largest is through the Brentwood School District. We run it in our Bayshore Family Center. And so the parents come in, the buses come in, but on family nights, on parent nights, when the parents are there, they, you know, see, oh, gee, right, connected to the building and see our brochures. Oh, I didn't know you do K counseling. I didn't know you have job training. I didn't know you do homework help for kids. They then get introduced to all the other services we have. And you're right. It's, I didn't know you do all of that.
And a lot of the families that bring their kids for preschool, it's probably because they have to work and they can't be home. They don't have, it's mostly for care, right? For child care?
No, it's a full, it's a preschool. It's a program that is operated under the curriculum and the district of, say, in Brentwood. We also do in Huntington, South Huntington. We do it in Mattituck. It's the curriculum from New York State. It's universal pre-K. It's under New York State Education Department. So it's a full curriculum for 4-year-olds. And the nice part about universal pre-K, there is no income eligibility. It truly is universal. Families who, you know, say, gee, I want my 4-year-old to get a free preschool education. We have licensed teachers and aides in each classroom. And as I said, it's under the guidance of the school district and New York State Education Department. Kids either in some of our classes are full day, because in Brentwood, some of their grant is for full day UPK. Hmm. So children stay with us from, say, 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon with a nap and everything else. Others are half day UPK, so 2.5 hours. And it's a wonderful way. I mean, in this environment, this day and age, 4-year-olds, I mean, you know, when my kids were 4, it was very different than what kids now 4 and 5 are learning, and what the readiness level when you enter kindergarten or first grade is very different than it was many years ago.
Right.
But it's still, you know, listen, 4-year-olds are still 4-year-olds, and you want to be fun. This is not strict education, academics. It's fun. It's in learning through activities, and you'd be amazed that 4-year-olds get up there with a smart board and their little fingers move the A to the apple. It's absolutely incredible, but it's a way for parents to have their children get a 4-year-old pre-K education before going on into public school.
You feed them while they're there?
If they are there for the full day, they have lunch, yes,
have lunch.
And that's brought in through the district.
Because I was really shocked at, let me just say, when I first met Jonathan, we were at the Imagine Awards, which really blew me away because I didn't know about half the organizations that were here and how many people were in need. The thing that shocked me the most was the food insecurity in Long Island. I didn't realize how much of that is going on. Do you guys have a program for that as well?
We partner with an agent. Look, a lot of our families who come to us who have multiple stresses in their lives, certainly food insecurity can play a part of it, and those who we see, there are many in poverty, and that's a part of it. So we do partner with Island Harvest through many of their programs and to help our families get food. And we also have we have some food pantries in some of our centers, and we work with different congregations. So we work it out. We also help families to get entitlements for SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
That's great. So
we do all of that.
And then there's the lighter side of what we do. I mean, we serve families, and we can't forget children. And a lot of times the needs of the families aren't about the children. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they aren't. So we also run 2 programs in the year that are strictly about children and giving them the experiences that they should have as kids, despite what challenges their parents may face. And one of them is called Project Toy, which happens every November.
It's got the word toy in it.
It's got the word toy in it. And we do this in a very special way at Family Service League. We set up our toy delivery sites as a store, and the parents make appointments. This is a very, very, very dignified way to deliver toys to children.
Right.
And then we allow them to either wrap them or wrap them for them, but they're picking things their kids will like. And then the second program about children that we do, I love to talk about these, especially now with our camp program. Our camp program sends children from families who would otherwise not be able to send them to camps all over Suffolk County and beyond. They go for 2-week periods of time, I believe, and we're doing something very special with this camp program this year. In both Westfield Malls in Bayshore and in Massapequa, the Westfield Mall has allowed us to put in what is called a wishing well or a coin funnel.
Okay.
You've probably seen them where you launch a quarter and it goes into right. So these are going to be just 2 wishing wells designated for our camp program. So people can actually participate, you know, our citizens, our neighbors, who aren't having such a hard time,
right,
while they're shopping and eating at the mall, can throw a quarter in or change in and help send these kids to camp, which is something, it's really special for them, because otherwise their summers really aren't very exciting.
I think that's
really
nice.
We're grateful to a Westfield Malls for allowing us to do this.
I think that's important to know, because when people walk into the Westfield Malls, they don't realize, you know, I've seen that, but I didn't bother to stop and say, what is that? Because I didn't know what it was. So I just figured, oh, it's some mall thing. But it isn't some mall thing. It's actually, it's for Family Service League, which is a really, I'm here to say, is a really important organization that if you can contribute any way, that's the easiest way. Plus, you got your kids with you. Have them throw a quarter and teach them a little something about charitable donations.
Yep. And the new ones will be in the malls within the month.
That's terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
So. How else can people help you?
Well, they can come to attend an event of ours. We have a number of significant fundraising events. One coming up in July, July 14th, is our summer gala. Always a great time in West Hampton Beach. And, you know, families, individuals can come, businesses supporting us by coming to this event, help us to raise money that goes directly to programs throughout Long Island. They can go to our website and fsl-li.org. Go to our website to donate. Easy to find us on the web as well. Contact Jonathan or me at 631-427-3700. Happy to talk to you about their different ways to get involved, either through direct donations, coming to volunteer to learn more about the agency. Happy to do that, or businesses. We have a lot of business partners out there who look to give back, and we're very grateful that they do that.
I think it's important for volunteer, especially if you're a high school kid or if you're trying to get into college. Not only is it a great education for you to volunteer, because now you learn that there are people unlike you, you know, that maybe don't have things as great as you do, but also, you know, I hate to be so selfish, but it's really good for your resume. It's
they
important
do that.
To volunteer.
It absolutely is, and certainly we understand that. But as you said, you know, the bigger brush with that is that, you know, kids learn that, you know what, not everyone grows up like me,
right,
and other people have hardships, and it's important to see that and to experience that and to be able to give back. Yes, certainly it looks good in their resume, and that's important, but probably far more paramount is you're doing it for the right reasons, that you want to give back, because I've grown up that way. My parents do that, so now it's my turn to learn more about giving back to, you know, families in need.
And I think that's an important lesson, because as somebody who grew up in Long Island, you know, for me, I was really, really isolated. I stayed in my town. And it wasn't until I went to other towns once I started playing sports that I was like, wait a minute, where's their X, Y, and Z, like whatever it was that we had in our town that they didn't have. And I started realizing, oh, wait, our town has money. Their town doesn't have money. That must mean that neither do they. And it started making more sense to me. As I got older, I started realizing that Long Island is really made up of real extremes. I mean, you have some of the wealthiest people in New York here in Long Island.
Absolutely. But
and then some of the neediest.
Correct. And the other part, what I always say to my staff and to others who I meet, and Jonathan knows this, is that, you know, Family Service League, like many not-for-profits out there, we're not just for the poor. Obviously, that's how we were started, to help the poor, the vulnerable, the disenfranchised. We always will. But mental illness, drug addiction, doesn't know if you're rich or poor. And that crosses all socioeconomic lines. So you can live in East Hampton and you can have a family member who's schizophrenic or someone who's involved in drug abuse. If people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds, come to Family Service League. And that's a good thing to know, that we are here for everybody.
Right.
You know, and yeah, as I said, mental illness can strike a family. You can be the richest family. And if you have a family member who's suffering, we're here to help.
Right. How do people realize that they have a mental health issue? Because I think so many people are in denial about that sort of thing. Is it usually a family member that comes and says, you got to help my brother, or you got to help my mom?
Typically. Or they may have, you know, been at work and struggling with some issues, and the employee may recommend they go get help to say, you know what, you know, something's going on, and maybe, you know, we have a program we'd like to send you to an agency for counseling, and, you know, what's typically called employee assistance program, and they can work it through us to get them help. But you're right. I mean, some people may recognize themselves, say, you know, I just don't feel right, or I feel depressed all the time, or I can't get out of bed.
Or a friend will notice.
Typically, or a family member may say, you know, something's off. You know, let's go see if we can get you help. That typically is the way.
And the worst cases, it could be admission to an emergency room.
Right.
We have programs that also deal with that, where the emergency rooms are directly connected to us.
Hmm.
And so with a collaborative program, this one in particular with our Bayshore Center, Family Center and Southside Hospital, Northwell Health, the people come in with mental issues into an emergency room setting and are immediately connected with a caseworker. They have access to our calendar. They're given an appointment and made sure that the follow-up is there.
Well, right. And what happens if they first obviously are medically cleared by the hospital before, and if they recognize that, no, this person doesn't need to be admitted, but clearly they need some counseling, and they can make that referral directly. And so it's what we call warm handoff.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just gave that person who entered the ER and they say, no, you really don't need to be here, and they say, but, you know, here's a brochure for Family Service League, make an appointment. That brochure is going in the circular.
Right.
That person, is all likelihood, is not going to take and say, okay, I'll call Monday morning.
Right.
But this way, as Jonathan said, the social worker or the doctor can go into what's called a shared calendar with Southside Hospital Emergency Room. I'm putting you in. I'm going to get you an appointment with Family Service League for Monday morning. Here you are. You're connected. Makes all the difference in the world.
What are some of the signs that somebody around you might be suffering with like an addiction of some kind?
Erratic behavior, certainly, ups and downs, not showing up to work consistently or maybe very late, very early, very erratic behavior, being irresponsible, just seem out of it.
Some people could take, like for kids, they take parents' leftover narcotics
mm-hmm.
that maybe they had for an injury or painkiller and the parents notice they're missing.
Right.
Or maybe money is consistently missing right. from their wallets or their wherever they keep money.
Change in behavior that is different than what they had been doing
right.
can be a signal for either drug use or alcohol or mental health.
I would think a lot of parents, though, it's probably hard to reach out because you want to say, I can handle my own kid. If mm-hmm. there's an issue here, I'll take care
yes,
of this.
Correct.
So at what point do they realize that they can't handle it? Is it too late by then? Like, when do you as a parent finally say, I think I might need some help here, and it's okay to ask for help?
Well, the earlier the better to ask for help. That it, you know, if you see that, gee, my son or daughter, this isn't him. You know, he doesn't act this way, and you've tried to engage him in a conversation, you know, what's going on, and you see nothing, call professional. At least make that initial call and run your concerns by whether it's your own physician or contact a mental health agency such as Family Service League. Speak to us. Say, you know what, I'm not sure what's going on with Johnny, but he doesn't seem to be this or that. Better to err on the side of calling early.
Right.
Because if you err too late, God forbid, you don't want to be that Monday morning quarterback and your child overdosed over the weekend.
Right. There's no downside to
calling
Family Service League. There's no downside
to calling us, you know, at all. You know, you're going to get some advice. You're going to get hopefully some help and be able to make a decision, which I do. But you cannot go wrong by calling early.
The resources are there, not only for the person who may be suffering from addiction, but the resources are also there for the family.
Correct.
So because you have to treat the whole family.
Karen Borstein, President and CEO, Family Service League, and Jonathan Chankin, Vice President for Development. Tell us one more time how to get in touch with you guys.
Either by the website, www.fsl-li.org, or call us, 631-427-3700.
And if I'm a business, I can get in touch with you guys to be at the July 14th event.
The website can take you to our events page for fundraising or donations, or you can just call us and we can get you connected to our event.
Or if you're a family, if you heard something during this interview that you thought, you know what, that might be my family, they're here for you. And like you said, Karen, I mean, it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is.
Right.
You guys have so many different services for so many different family problems,
mm-hmm.
and you're willing to help with no judgment.
Absolutely.
No judgment.
Right. Fantastic. Family Service League, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.